Good morning and welcome to our worship today. The focus of our service today, on this ninth week now of the Pentecost season, is that as Christians we live as wheat among weeds, or in other words, as Christians among unchristians. We keep an eye on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised that when he comes, he will gather us to heaven, and that gives us the encouragement, the comfort, and the hope to continue to live as wheat among the weeds. May God bless our time in his word today. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We confess our sins to our Lord and receive his forgiveness. Lord, we come into your presence, you who created us to love and serve as your dear children. But we have disobeyed you. We deserve only your wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to you and plead for your mercy. We pray, merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. Dear friends, our Heavenly Father has forgiven all of our sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed our guilt forever. We are his own dear children. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen. We turn to our scripture lessons today. Our first lesson is from the Old Testament book of Joel, Joel chapter 3. And here the prophet Joel is reminding us that the Lord sits on his throne. He is the judge. And for those who trust in him, he is our shelter, our refuge. We hear the words of verses 12 through 16 of Joel chapter 3. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will be seated to judge all the nations. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow, because the nation's wickedness is so great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars will stop shining. The Lord will roar from Zion and shout from Jerusalem. The sky and the earth will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. And our reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll hear the first 8 verses of this chapter. And Peter, in our epistle lesson, is speaking to us. He says, living as wheat among the weeds means leaving our lives of sin behind and living for the will of God. The end of all things is near, so let us live like wheat among the weeds of this world by loving each other deeply with that forgiving love found only in Christ. We read the first 8 verses of 1 Peter 4. Therefore, because Christ suffered in flesh, arm yourselves with the same mindset, because the one who has suffered in flesh is done with sin. Do this so that you no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh for human desires, but for God's will. Indeed, you have already spent enough time in the past doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in unbridled immorality, living in lusts, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and disgusting idolatry. For this reason, they are surprised that you do not plunge into the same overflowing river of filth with them, and they slander you. They will have to give an account to the one who is ready to judge the living and the dead. In fact, it was for this reason that the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, so that they might be judged the way people are judged in flesh, and that they might live the way God lives in spirit. The end of all things is near, so have sound judgment and be self-controlled, for the sake of your prayers. Above all, love each other constantly, because love covers a multitude of sins. These are then the words of our Lord. We join together in confessing our Christian faith. If you want to join along, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Though I may speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire, but have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless gain. And striving soul, my love profess, but not be given by love within. The prophet soon turns strangely thin.
I don't know the exact amounts, but I do know that I spend a whole lot of more money on fertilizers and bottles of weed killer and plants and flowers, shrubs, than I do on paying for tumbleweeds, goat heads, and the like. In fact, I don't spend a single red penny on any of those items. We like to say our kids grow like weeds, but really only weeds grow like weeds. And they grow in our flower beds, our gardens, and even in the cracks of our driveways. Oftentimes, when I'm wiping the sweat from my head, I'm reminded of our ugly sins that began in the Garden of Eden and which caused all these weeds to be grown in the places I don't want them to be growing. And I'm reminded of the need for forgiveness of sins. Dear Christian friend, if we are agitated by the abundance of the prickly plants that are growing where we don't want them to be growing, how agitated our Lord must be by what happened to his beautiful garden. There are weeds in the wheat, and not just a few of them. Today, Jesus tells us a parable of the weeds in the wheat. We're going to learn as Christians how we live as wheat among the weeds. In other words, we're going to learn how we live as Christians among non-Christians. And as we do, we will find ourselves taking Jesus' advice. And his advice is, don't try pulling the weeds. Just leave them alone. Because as we turn to this parable, in the first part, we learn that pulling weeds is Jesus' concern. Our reading comes from Matthew chapter 13. We'll read the first part, beginning at verse 26. When the plants sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" He said to them, "An enemy did this." The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?" "No," he answered, "because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'First gather up the weeds, bind them in bundles and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn.'" What strikes me in this parable, and perhaps you as well, first of all, is the different reactions. The reaction of the owner is totally different from the reaction of the workers. The workers are shocked when they see the crop come up. They see that there are weeds among the wheat. The owner is not shocked. And here's where you see another thing. The owner's grace. Obviously, the owner is Jesus. The enemy who sowed those weeds is Satan. Well, sometimes as Christians, we can get very shocked by all the evil that we see in our world. But the owner, Jesus, is not shocked. He knows right away what happened. There was an enemy. An enemy came and visited the field and did all of his dirty work under the cover of night. He went out and sowed the weeds. What we learn here is that the devil certainly can destroy. The devil gets a bigger kick out of watching the wheat die than he does watching the weeds grow. You can be certain that Satan is alive and active, and he attacks us as wheat. And what he attacks us with most often is with doubt. He has us doubt God's love. He has us doubt God's word. And he has us doubt about all the evil that we see in our world today. Evil that comes in every way, every shape. Evil that makes us mad, and evil that makes us very sad. Evil which causes us just to throw up our hands in despair and say, "What's the use? Maybe God doesn't love. Maybe God doesn't care. Maybe he's not in control." And so it is obvious what Satan wants to do. But it's not always so obvious how Satan works. Satan doesn't attack us openly and viciously. Rather, Satan attacks us often very quietly and subtly. For those of you who are listening, you won't be able to see this, but imagine me holding up two sheets of paper. One of the sheets of paper is totally white, and the other is a dark colored sheet. It is completely red. It is very obvious that you can see the two colors, the difference between the two. It jumps right out at you. Now, I'm holding up two different sheets of paper. Again, the white one, but now a little lighter red. It's kind of pinkish. And again, you could see the difference, but those who are further away would not be able to see the difference. There's a very subtle difference. And finally, I want to hold up two new sheets. This one is the totally white one, and the second sheet is a very light beige. Now those people almost directly sitting in front of me, if I was at church, wouldn't be able to see the difference. That's how Satan works. It's very difficult at times to see his works. because he works quietly behind the scenes. Suddenly, he just blends in so that we barely see the difference and barely even notice him. And by the time we do notice him, it's too late. There is something greater that Satan attacks other than just you. Yeah, you are the target of his attack, the wheat. But his greatest target is to target God's holy word. It's the truth of Scripture, the holy truth of God's word, the law and the gospel. Because by those truths, we know that the Holy Spirit has created saving faith in our hearts. By those truths, we know that Jesus is our Savior, that he lived a perfect life for you and for me. He died on Calvary's cross to take away all of our sins. The Scripture teaches us that he rose again from the dead with the promise that because I live, you also will live. We know the right way to live, and we are empowered to live that way through the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit. And you also know, because you have been taught the truth of God's word, you know the difference between right and wrong. Well, Satan attacks each and every one of those scriptural truths. But it seems now that the greatest single target of his attack is that very last one I mentioned, namely, knowing the difference between right and wrong, realizing the difference between what is right and what's wrong. There's a lot of different polls taken at times, and there are different statistics that are often given. Well, this statistic was taken from a very Christian polling group, and they take extensive polls. There was two questions that they recently asked, and it's kind of interesting to see the answers that are given. The first question is, whatever is right for your life and works best for you is the only truth that you should know. I'll say it again. The only knowledge for right and wrong for your life is what's going to work best for your life and for you. That's the only truth that you should know. Practicing Christians, people who say they not only are Christian, but they practice Christianity, 41% of practicing Christians agree with that. And here's the second question. Every culture must determine what is acceptable morality for its people. Every culture must determine what is acceptable morality for its people. Again, practicing Christians, 47% of practicing Christians said that they strongly or do agree with that statement. That's what Satan is doing, and it's working. It's becoming increasingly and increasingly more difficult to tell the difference between the wheat and the weeds. And so really it is with a sigh of relief that we go to what I think is one of the most beautiful parts of the parable. God's grace comes out loud and clear. The servants ask the owner, "Sir, do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?" "No," he answered, "because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull out the wheat along with them." I use Roundup to kill the weeds. It's a weed killer. It kills vegetation. If you have a problem with weeds, just you spray some Roundup on it, those weeds are going to die. But it doesn't only kill weeds. Roundup also kills grass and plants and flowers and all the good things we have. Dear Christian, that is what we all deserve from God. For what we do for our sins, the sins that come in every shape, form, and size, we deserve Roundup. Not just the unbelievers, but we as well. We deserve God's eternal punishment, his judgment. But instead, what does God declare? He sprays on all his people grace. He gives us a time of grace, a time to come to know him as our Lord and Savior, and a time for us to share that love with others. especially with those who we live with, especially our loved ones, especially family members, people we work with, people we know, people we love. We want them also to know the love of Jesus. God gives us that time of grace to share that message. And so what we learn, first of all, is that pulling the weeds, that is Christ's concern. What is our concern? Our concern is to plant the seed and to water that seed. Our parable goes on, starting in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the people away and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus answered them, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will pull out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, and those who continue to break the law. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." As Jesus explains the parable, he points to Judgment Day and beyond as the harvest. Jesus and his workers, the angels, will come, and they will separate the wheat from the weeds. And we will all stand before God in that final day. Every person, every believer, every unbeliever. And as we face God's judgment, there is only going to be two ways we're going to stand. We're going to either stand as wheat or as weeds. As wheat, we're going to stand before God on Judgment Day, and as God looks at us, he will look at us with his Son at our side. He will look at us through the reflection of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. On the other side, people are going to stand before God on Judgment Day as weeds. And if they are standing there before God on Judgment Day as weeds, there is no one next to them. There's no one by their side. It's just you. It's just them. Now we know that we stand with Christ. And what it says about our lives in heaven is that we're going to shine. We're going to shine in glory. The glory of heaven's perfection, the glory of Christ's perfection, will be our perfection. But until harvest day, what is our chief concern? It's to plant the seed. It's to use our lives as a gateway, using our lips to plant the seed. To look at people who don't share our faith as someone who needs to hear the message about Jesus. Not because we're better than them, but because we love them. Because we want to share with them the joy that is found in Jesus, our Savior. We want to follow Christ's example as we live among the weeds in our lifetime. Think of what Jesus did. He ran into a lot of sinful people doing some very sinful things in his day. Just as bad as the things that you and I see today. The things that we run into our lives with other people. But what does Jesus do? He never condoned the sin. He never said, "That's okay." He never said, "That's just the way it is. That's just the way you are. Accept it." No. He never condoned sin. He called sin by saying what it was, sin. But at the same time, Jesus never condemned the sinner. He never made them feel like dirt. He never made them feel like they couldn't be forgiven. And when he gave them his forgiveness, he always left them with a little word of praise and encouragement. Go and sin no more. As we plant the seed, as we live among the weeds, we need to realize that at times we're going to get our hands dirty. We're going to run into some people whose lifestyle might shock the living daylights out of us. Let us remember, like Jesus, he too ran into that. But like Jesus, he showed love. He showed love to them. Let us reach out to them with God's word, because that alone is what changes people. And we commit them to Jesus. At just the right time, our Lord is going to come to take his harvest home, and you and I will be changed. We'll shine like the sun. The wickedness of Satan is going to be burned up. And then only our home and the family we are part of will be the mansions of the Heavenly Father, where his family will surround us for all eternity. Until that day comes, may all of us find the joy as we continue to live as wheat among the weeds, as we continue to share that loving message, living that wonderful message of Jesus in our lives. Amen. We pray. Pour out your Spirit on us, Lord, that we may grow richly in your knowledge, spiritual understanding. Bless the preaching of your word everywhere, so that hearts may be turned from the darkness of ignorance and falsehood and despair to the light of knowledge, truth, and life. Be with our missionaries in our own and distant lands. Protect them, encourage them, crown their labors with success. Let your word shine in our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love and serve one another in kindness and humility. Watch over the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, the weary. Preserve those who are in any danger of body or soul. Supply us by the grace of Jesus with the Spirit's power, that we may ever be comforted by your truth and sustained by your love. For these and all the other things you know that we need, we confidently ask in the name of him who gave himself for us, that we might live through him. And it's in his name that we also come to you and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, blessed day and week. Thank you.
our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives